In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let's pray, O God, to instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Granted by the same Spirit, may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Saint Angela Merici.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray.
Lord be with you.
And
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test him and said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? He said and replied, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He replied to him, You've answered correctly, do this and you will live. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. We've arrived at what number? 47. Okay. I'd like to just give the finishing touches on 46. You gave me permission. Do you?
Yes.
Thank you. Then we'll move into 47. First, I'd like to ask a couple of questions. See if you can answer this question or finish this phrase. Cleanliness is near to... Once a little child said, cleanliness is next to impossible. Okay, here's the next question. Ready? ASAP. What does that mean? No. Always say a prayer. Amen. Hey, hey, yeah. Amen. What do you think? So I baptized that one tonight, huh? Okay, how do you spell fear? Okay, fear, spell it. Face everything and rise. Amen? Good one, huh? Face everything and rise. So I've given you some pretty good acronyms tonight, huh? Okay, last week we gave a talk on the stigmata, right? We talked about the stigmata and also the salvific value of suffering, if you remember. So remember, it goes beyond 6 days, okay? The salvific value of suffering. We mentioned the different stigmatics. St. Paul was one, right? We mentioned Padre Pio. No, no, not Madre Mia, but Padre Pio. We mentioned also Saint Rita of Kasha, right? We also mentioned Saint Catherine of Siena, who had the stigmata invisible for most of her life, and then when she died it became visible, right? And Padre Pio the other way around, God said he would have it for 50 years, and then when he was about to die, disappeared in 1968. We also mentioned the fact that Saint Faustina had the stigmata. And that was number 46, right? So, I'd like to read 46 and give some finishing touches on that. Then we'll move on to 47, God willing, and we'll finish the diary in the year 2059. If we keep at my pace, right? You have it?
Yes.
I often felt the passion of the Lord Jesus in my body. What is that? Although this was imperceptible to others, like Catherine of Siena, right? And rejoiced in it because Jesus wanted it so. Very important. Rejoiced in it because Jesus wanted it as so. So what does that mean? If we know this is God's will, we should rejoice. Amen? We recognize something is God's will, we should rejoice in that. Very important point. You're in God's will, rejoice. But this lasted for only a short time. So the stigmata differs according to the person. Some of you saw the film of Saint Rita. It lasted about 4 hours, but a very good film, right? Saint Rita was a mother. She was a widow. She preferred that her sons die rather than they seek out revenge upon the person that killed her husband. And they did die. And then she tried to enter it into various convents, and there she was, saw the movie outside the gates of the Augustinian convent. God opened up the gates. And the Mother Superior recognized that she was called to become a religious. She became an Augustinian nun. And she had the stigmata, which was what? A thorn that was embedded in her brow. And worms would come out of that thorn. And a terrible stench. Try to explain that medically. Any doctors here? You can't. Huh? That's a very unique stigmata, right? Would you like to have that one? If it were God's will? You didn't hear what I said, huh? That's called selective hearing, huh? You know what selective hearing is? You hear only what you want to hear. Did you hear me?
Okay.
Más o menos, huh? Selective hearing. We hear only what we want to hear. Somebody said, what, Father? She didn't want to hear that, huh? Okay, so I'd like to comment today. These sufferings set my soul afire. That's such a high spirituality. You read that and you almost cringe, huh? Who, have you ever met anyone that's suffering very intensely and that person's heart is on fire? I don't think I've met too many of those people. We're dealing with a person who's arrived at a very high level of spirituality. And this is the very beginning of the diary. Later on, you're going to see her arriving at a higher level. There's so many beautiful messages here. Is that you could actually suffer and experience joy at the same time. You believe that? You read the Acts of the Apostles, Peter, they arrested him, they whipped him, and what happened? They rejoiced. Why? Because they could suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. that goes beyond nature. It's called the supernatural life. The natural man does not understand this, but the supernatural man can understand the supernatural man as well as the natural man. Okay, these sufferings set my soul afire with what? Love for God and for immortal souls. Now, in your spiritual life, that phrase should characterize your life. After going through the exercise with me more than once, if you don't understand that now, I'm going to be falling into desolation. You understand that? Okay, I'm going to go back to the rectory in desolation after working so hard with you people, no? That should be the motto of my life. That's the motto of my love. That's the motto of my life. Hopefully yours. So the motto of my life, I want to really... What was the gospel I read? You weren't listening. Yeah. Luke chapter 10, right? If you say so, Father. Okay. Jesus, talking with his man, what is the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and to love your... So you're called to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your... What? What am I doing? Okay. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. You ought to do that when you're teaching catechism, huh? Act it out. So that gospel said, love God sometimes 50% when you feel like it on a sunny day. Is that your interpretation? Is that the way you interpret it? It's a lousy interpretation. You're diluting the gospel. It's a total love for Christ. And you know, my friends, until we really try to live that out, we're never really going to be happy. I repeat, until we really try to live that out. We haven't arrived at it. Until we've decided to really live that out, we're never really going to be happy. Because we're only giving ourselves to the Lord partially. Our Lord is a jealous lover. That's what Song of Songs says that. Our Lord is a jealous lover. Any of you married here? What happens if you're walking in the boardwalk there with your husband, hand in hand, and then a beautiful woman walks right beside you, and your husband kind of goes like this. And you say to him, what were you doing? I was just seeing if that lady had a rosary. You know? That's not going to pass, is it? No. If he's doing that, he's showing that his love for you is partial, right? Sometimes we do that to God. You got it? Sometimes we do that to God, and you have to admit it. Our eyes wander from God, right? The world has a very strong pull upon us, no? The world, the flesh and the devil, huh, for that matter. And there's that other woman. Just check and see how the rose went. Oh. The biggest lie in the world, huh? Love for God and immortal souls. Today I was teaching a confirmation class, my AP, my advanced class at 5:30 to 6:30, 5:15 to 6:15. And I asked them, what is love? And none of them were able to really give a definition. I'd like to develop that topic tonight. So I have to give you a definition because tomorrow is one of my favorite feast days. It's not the 4th of July tomorrow, by the way, okay? I guess none of you know whose feast day it is tomorrow. St. Thomas the Apostle? Thomas de Villanova. Who was that guy? Never heard of him?
Yeah.
That was a brilliant theologian in the world, no? Did you know that he had 4 to 5 secretaries, he was dictating to 4 or 5 secretaries at the same time. Can you imagine that? I'll explain. So one, he was dictating on De Trinitate and the Trinity. Another one, he was dictating on baptism. Another one, he was dictating on the Immaculate Conception. Another one, he was dictating on the Fifth Commandment. 4 to 5 different topics at the same time. Can you imagine that? And very profound topics. Do you have to get 4 or 5 secretaries for you? Fat chance, huh? But what a brilliant mind. G.K. Chesterton wrote the book in his life, the Dumb Ox, huh? Some of you have probably read it, huh? And there's a story that he was on the terrace, he was a seminarian, and one of the seminarians said, Thomas, come, there's the ox that's flying. And he ran to see the ox that's flying. He said, no. And he said, much more easy to believe that there's a flying ox than to have a lying seminarian. Hey. He gave it to him, right? Quick response, huh? 4 to 5 secretaries at the same time. Brilliant mind. Very humble. But now that St. Thomas Aquinas, let's give his definition of what love is. We've got some Thomas here, some graduates, Filipina from Santo Tomas. Come on, give an eloquent discourse. We're waiting for you, huh? I forgot, Father. It's been many years. Okay, love is willing the good of the other. Is that hard to memorize? Is that long? No. Love is willing the good of the other. What is your bonum maximum, you Latin experts? Any of you know Latin? I know pig Latin. Okay. No, well, real Latin, not pig Latin. It's willing, your bonum maximum, the greatest good. So, if you really love another person, you're willing the greatest good of that person, and that's principle and foundation, which means his greatest good is what? To help him to get to God. So for me, to measure a person's holiness is not simple. It is his prayer life. But a prayer life has to lead that person to that fire within, which he or she is not content with where he or she is at now. And he or she is always asking, how can I bring people to heaven? It's called the king. How can I bring people to heaven? And I think a lot of mothers are going to be happy when they say this. Because I've got about 25 through, probably about 30. And I ask them, do you think that your mother is working hard to get you to heaven? And almost all of them nodded like this. What a compliment. Almost all of them. They all come from pretty good families. They're all nodding, yes, Father. I know almost all the mothers. They're nodding, yes, Father. You think your mother's really trying on a daily basis to get you to heaven? Yes. Do any of you know the first words The first words of St. Francis de Sales that he said as a little baby? I said my homily the other day at 8 o'clock. You already forgotten my homily, okay? Thanks a lot. Very beautiful. First words were, my mommy loves me and God loves me. The first words. How would you interpret that? My interpretation would be this. My mommy loves me because she taught me about God. And because she taught me about God, that's why I love her so much. They're connected. Interpret it however you want, but my interpretation is that my mommy loves me because God loves me, and I know that God loves me because I know God loves me, I know that mommy loves me, and not the other way around. You would probably take it first, my mommy loves me, then God knows. The fact that the mother instilled love of God in that little kid, he could say that and connect both of them. Ideally speaking, all mothers should have the child saying that. But we have a lot of work to do, don't we? I remember hearing the story when this little boy went to church with his mother. He was about 3 years old. The mother went up to receive communion. As soon as she came back, the little boy put his head over the mother's heart. The mother said, "What are you doing?" "I'm listening to the heart of God beat in your heart." That little boy went on to school a scholar. He got a double doctorate in law. He was sent to Chablais to fight against the Calvinists. When he arrived, there were about 72,000 Calvinists and 72 Catholics. After 3 years, there were 72,000 Catholics and 72 Calvinists. He went on to write the greatest book of love in the history of the church. And he went on to write one of the greatest classics that all of you hopefully have read. And it is a great help to growing spiritual. It's called Introduction to the Devout Life. And his name is? Francis of Assisi? No. Francis de Sales. And he was the little one that put his head close to the heart of his mother and said, "I'm listening to God's heart beat in your heart." Amen? Francis de Sales. So the diary says, love endures everything. Love is what? Stronger than death. That comes from the Song of Songs, if you've ever read the Bible. And love fears nothing. You say that you've arrived at that level? Say no, Father.
No.
Do you want to?
Yes.
That's why we're here. You ever have any fears? Every day, right? Every day we're filled with fears, huh? Because love is still imperfect. You ever have to go to the doctor? You ever have to get a shot?
Yes.
You love that, don't you? Yeah. How many fears we have? And perfect love casts out fear. St. John says that, right? So let's start to talk about that number. Let's start to talk about love. Start to talk about that. Is that an important virtue? Let's talk about that. Now, there are many virtues in the world. Patience, meekness, purity, kindness, obedience, fortitude. These are all virtues, right? Gentleness. Which is the greatest of all virtues? Okay. love, or can we call it something else?
Charity
is the greatest of all virtues. So half of that short number is related to the stigmata, but the last part of that is related to what we're talking about. So every day in your meditation, this should be an addition to your meditation. Beg the Lord to grow in love every day. Can you do that?
Yes.
Can I do that tomorrow?
Yes.
At least half of you are saying yes, okay? The others are somewhat resistant, okay? But in your prayer, you should be begging for the greatest of virtues. Otherwise, you're going to be limping along you're going to be limping along. You prefer to limp or to fly? Hey, get rid of the crutches. Walk, run, fly high in the spiritual life. It's through going in love. So I don't think you should ever have a holy hour which you're not ending with, Lord, okay, I've given me the grace to love you more and more. Amen? Is that a good prayer?
Yeah.
It's not a good prayer. It's an excellent prayer, right? I'm going to tell you the secret now. Shakespeare says, lend me your ears, okay? So you have received Holy Communion. What do you do after you receive Holy Communion? I hope you don't fall asleep. Okay. This is another a talk I'd like to develop related to the diary. And I've never given a really formal talk on this, but I will eventually. And you probably never heard any priest ever preach on this, but we should, is how to make a Thanksgiving after Mass. You've never heard a homily on that before. I've alluded to that. But that should be developed. Because the most important moments in your life are when you receive communion and after you receive communion. Hello?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
That should be developed. You should have a book written on that. You have a lot of books on the Eucharist, right? But a book written specifically on that topic, I've never read one yet. I can hear your mind. Well, Father, you've already written a book. That'll be your second. Okay. Is that what you're thinking? I thought so. Okay. Maybe I will. Because really, those moments or minutes after Holy Communion are the most important moments. And do we really take advantage of it? And honestly, I try to. Any of you go to 8 o'clock Mass this morning?
Yes.
Okay, what did I do after receiving Holy Communion today? You were asleep, okay. Sat down for about 5 minutes.
Yes.
Not to meditate. Tell the Lord how much I love Him. Hey, that's not ornamental. Those are the most important moments in my life. And then at the end, what I say, Lord, I want to spend the whole day thanking you and loving you. But Lord, the people are not going to put up with that. They're going to clamor to Father Larry, then the bishop, huh? So what I do is, Lord, I know I should be giving you more time. But right now, I say the closing prayer. And I will continue my thanksgiving through the heart of Mary. So what do? Suppose the Blessed Sacrament, make the genuflection, I still have the communion within my heart. I go over to the pulpit there, and for 20 minutes I'm praising and worshiping God through Mary's heart. Is that good?
Yes.
Through Mary's heart. Through the rosary. So I ask Mary to help me for the next 20 minutes to keep praising and thanking and loving Jesus Christ. Good idea? Now if you do that, what I've done, if you do that, your spiritual life are going to start to skyrocket. Now, no one has ever taught you this in your 50, 60, 70 years, no? Well, however old you are, eh? And for me, it's sad, and I'd almost have to apologize as a priest for not teaching this. I pray for my conversion. Almost have to apologize, and this should be taught. Because of some special grace, because of my parents, and special grace because they called to be a priest. I've always understood this. I've understood this past 53 years of my life. But it's becoming more and more clear how important this is. And then after that rosary is finished, if you're not in a hurry, spend more time loving God, worshiping God, praising God, giving God your heart, giving Him your life, giving Him your whole being. That's the time, my friends, in which you can really skyrocket in love for God. According to many, you know, the Eucharistic presence will stay in your heart physically. What would the body would probably consume that in 20, 25 minutes physically? Something like that. But then the physical effects, the spiritual effects depend on what? Upon you. Because the body's heat is going to consume it in a relatively short time. But the spiritual effects depend on how you're prepared. Are you prepared, but also how you thanked Him. One communion is enough to make you a saint. No, the fault is not in the communion, the fault is in the recipient of the communion. Because that's God. Any of you ever hear of Dominic Savio? This thought has occurred to me. And I told someone, you want to give me a birthday present? One will be, give me the life of Dominic Savio written by John Bosco. So I'm going to get 150 probably within the end of February. Okay? Written by John Bosco, okay? Because there are a lot of lives of Savio, no? My first was La Pen when I was 13 years old. I didn't know that means rabbit, you know, Peter the Rabbit, no? But John Bosco is the best. And you ought to buy maybe three or four. When you see a teenager, maybe he's about 14 or 15, maybe the age of Therese or Tony, no? Give him that. And I think that is a stepping stone toward the priesthood. For any teenager, for me, That would be the best book for a teenager to read. But written by John Bosco. Then maybe something written by Maria Goretti, no? But John Bosco's life of Dominic Savio is a spiritual masterpiece. And he asked one of my kids in the class, have you heard of Dominic Savio? And most of them raised their hand. And he asked one girl, well, how do you know? Well, she said, I went to Dominic Savio's school there. Ah, okay. Did they ever talk about him? Yes. Also John Bosco? Yes. He said, did you read the life of Dominic Savio? A good part of it. Well, tell me one of the stories. And the girl told me the story that I was about to tell them. Can I tell you the story? Okay, Dominic Savio was in the oratory. John Bosco. There are two boys that hated each other because they mutually insulted the father of each other. Lake Santa Rita, they decided that they wanted to try to kill the other. How was it going to be done? By a rock fight. So they went out to a nearby field on a certain day, And they both had a pile of rocks. And they were maybe about 30 feet away from each other, with the intention to kill the other. And you could. I used to play baseball. I know this. I've thrown a lot of rocks. If you throw a rock in the right place, with the right speed, you could kill the person. I played baseball all the way into the university. I'm not talking by theory. I'm talking about knowledge, no? I could probably throw a rock 85 miles per hour when I was at my best. That's moving, my pal. What would happen if that hits the head? He's dead. Well, these kids probably didn't have the arm of Padre Escobita, but they could probably throw it pretty hard. They weren't trained the way I was, no? But they could probably wing it, huh? So there they are, ready, and Dominic Savvy goes right in the middle of them and lifts up the cross. He says, whoever now is ready to throw the rock, throw it. They both said, Dominic, you're our friend. We don't want to hurt you. Throw it. Throw it. And they both dropped the rocks. And he said, come here now. Stand your hand. Shake hands. Now, off to the confessional. And they obeyed him. Wow. What a saint. Just reading that and telling you that fills me with consolation. There you got a saint. What did he desire? He desired il summum bonum. He desired the good of these other boys. What was the good of them? To prevent them from committing a mortal sin, to have them reconcile, and to make their peace with God. What do you think? That's love. That's love. It's not yummy, yummy, I got love in my tummy. Remember that one from the 60s? Any of you my age, no? It was number 15, 1969, I think it was, no? Number one was The Age of Aquarius, and number four was Get Back. Some of you have my age. Get Back for the Beatles. Remember that, no? But here you have someone that's really, really living out love. Can you imagine the 13, 14-year-old boy or girl reading Dominic Savio and really going deep into Dominic Savio? They're going to want to become priests, as he did. So love is the greatest of all virtues. The greatest of all virtues. We should aim for it. We should aim high. We should pray for it. Beg the Lord for it. Beg the Lord to increase in it. Love and charity, love or charity, it's a dynamic virtue that you have to work at fortifying. You have to keep working, you have to really work and labor to grow in charity. Easier said than done. And it can diminish. The fervor of charity can start to decline. You got to fan the flame. But there after Holy Communion, you're there after Holy Communion. You got God in your heart. That's the time. This is a universal symbol. Doesn't the heart symbolize love? Hello?
Yes.
You've heard me use this image before. When you receive Holy Communion, you have a heart transplant. You believe it?
Yes.
Have a heart transplant. That's not a metaphor. It's not a poetic image. It is reality. So you receive Holy Communion. When you consume Holy Communion, you have within your heart and your soul, you have the sacred heart of Jesus beating in your heart. Do you believe it or not?
Yes.
There is the essence of growing in love. You've got a sacred heart beating in your heart. It's a heart transplant. It is. It is really and truly a heart transplant. When I do weddings, and I do a lot of them, I give a lot of different sermons. I try to vary, otherwise I become bored with my own sermons, okay? So I like to vary it, at least for my own sanity, otherwise I go insane. One point I like to hammer home is the best thing that John can do for Lupe, I say this, is Juanito, best thing Juanito can do for Lupe, fall in love with God every day. The best thing Lupe can do for Juan is fall in love with God every day. Now, if both of them are falling in love with God every day, are they going to have a good marriage?
Yes.
Best marriage in the world. But too many marriages, they try to fall in love with each other without first falling in love with God. My friends, it falls apart. And pretty quickly. And when I say that, every time I say it, I can see them going like this, with almost with tears going down their eyes. It's the simplest thing in the world. But then they never heard it before. So if Juan is really trying to grow in love with God, and Guadalupe is trying to grow in love with God, they got a blockbuster. They got a winner. And our problem is we work too hard on the natural level and we do not work enough on the supernatural level. We work hard on the natural level. How much energy and time do they place into preparing for the wedding? A lot? You know, the rug, the design, the veil, the beauty parlor, huh? Sometimes doesn't even work. Okay? Sometimes it doesn't work. Or sometimes, you know, the wind of Santa Ana. There you go. It's pretty windy today, no? The carrot cake, right? The limousine, hmm? The chambalanes, no? The changuitos, bailando. And all on a natural level, but they forget about the supernatural level. Everything is natural. It has to be the supernatural level. Once it's raised to that level, got a winner. Got a winner. And I say that this to them in the homily, and they know what I'm saying is true. But then to put into practice, that's the big challenge. Yeah. That's the challenge. But I love that image. You receive the Eucharist, you receive the most sacred heart of Jesus in your heart. That's what happens. If you like, I see it like a fire. Now think about your defects. You're impatient, you get angry at times, a little bit of gluttony, okay, maybe lustful thoughts, maybe a little bit of greed, a little bit of envy, a little bit of jealousy, rivalry. You hear me?
Yes.
Sound like you? Yes, Father.
No.
You're reading my heart. Okay, I am proper, huh? It's called the capital sins, right? We all have them, right? We all have them. A little bit of sloth, a little bit of laziness, impatience, pushy, proud, egotistic at times, self-will, stubborn, mulish, huh? All these, huh? Hey, those are bad tendencies. Sometimes venial sins, if you give in to them, right? They're bad tendencies. You give in, they're venial sins. They are, right? What happens? You receive the Eucharist with love, they're all burnt away. You hear me? All burnt away. Burnt away. The fire of the Sacred Heart of Jesus burns it away. But you really have to try to receive Him with a lot of love. Now, I'm contradicting what we do in the parish, but sometimes I have problems with someone who's on the confessional line, runs a communion and runs back to the confessional line. Theologically, I got problems with that. Go ahead, do it if you want, but if you talk to me, a theologian, I would go through the steps where I sometimes find fault with that, because the Eucharist is going to burn away all the venial sins anyway. We promote frequent confession. Communion burns away like a burning fire all the smaller sins, like a burning fire. The Eucharist is the greatest gift from heaven. And the Eucharist is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Sacred Heart of Jesus is, among many titles, is the burning furnace of charity. Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth. Come to cast fire. I'm not in peace until that fire be enkindled. You ever hear that? Come to cast fire on the earth. And I'm not at peace until that fire be enkindled. God wants all of you to be in fire with the love of Christ. And you know when? Always. Not just on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus or Divine Mercy Sunday. Always. Now who can keep that fire burning? You know, you have to stay close to Mary. Hello? Have to stay close to Mary. Stay close to Mary, that burning fire is not going to decrease. Burning fire is going to increase. I think there's a direct proportion to our weakening in the devotion to Mary and the declining of the fire of love in your heart. Agree with that? Your love for Mary starts to diminish, and then your love for Christ starts to diminish. And that fire that you once had starts to diminish. And you turn back to Mary, what does she do? Any of you are from the East Coast, you know what bellows are? California don't even know, they've never heard the word before, okay? You're from the East Coast. You ever sit before a fire? What do we do before a fire? The Filipinos don't have, they've probably never seen this because it doesn't get cold there, no? But the bellows, okay? They're called bellows. Fuelle in Spanish. How's your Spanish? They actually use a French word, fuelle, okay? The bellows. So that the fire doesn't go out. Mary's like that bellows, keeps that fire burning. Keeps it burning. Keep it burning. And when all is said and done, we're going to be judged on what? How much money we have? How many houses we have? How many big cars we have? How long our hair is? How long our hair is, right? What are we going to be judged on? We're going to be judged on one word, and it is love. That's the, that when all is said and done, we're going to be judged on that. St. John of the Cross. What do the saints say about St. John of the Cross? He says, in el ocaso de nuestra existencia, seremos juzgados sobre el amor. ¿Habla español? En el ocaso de nuestra existencia, seremos juzgados sobre el amor. How's your Spanish? Muy malo, padre. It's very poetic, but he says, in the twilight of our existence, we will be judged on love. I love that. In the twilight of our existence. It means when our life is waning, when we're coming to the end, we're going to be judged on love. That's the mystical doctrine of the church. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas, we have to pay him a little bit of tribute, right? He says that charity is the queen of all the virtues. Not the prince, or the ambassador, or the delegate. The queen. The queen of all virtues is charity. Thomas Aquinas uses this image. You see my fingers that are jutting out from my palm? These fingers are the virtues, but the palm is charity. Okay? Palm is charity. Those fingers are not going to grow without the palm, right? And you got Aquinas again there. The palm is charity. The other, patience, the other virtues. What does St. Augustine say? O Lord, you have made our hearts for thee, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Confessions, huh? O Lord, you have made our hearts for thee. Our hearts are restless until we rest in thee. St. Augustine says this also. Love God and do what you want. Never heard that one, huh? Love God and do what you want. If you truly love God, then your actions that flow from the love of God are going to be actions that are going to be sanctifying others. Love God and do what you want. Now Francis of Sales, I'm quoting you saint after saint after saint, if you give me permission, says that the measure with which we should love God is to love God without measure. Like that one? The measure with which we should love God is to love God without measure. What does that mean? It really means this, that there's no limit. There's no limit to love. And what about St. Paul? Does he speak about love? You Bible experts, like you tell me, where do you find it? Someone could say 4 Corinthians 5, no? There's no such thing as 4 Corinthians, okay? 1 Corinthians 13, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love supports all things. Faith, hope, and charity. Faith, faith gives way to vision. Hope gives way to possession. This is Thomas Aquinas again. But charity endures forever. So you know that when you die, you're no longer going to have any faith. Why? Because you're going to see God face to face. That is called the beatific vision. Hope gives way to what? Possession. We possess what we're going to hope for. But love endures forever. Your holiness right now is the most intense act of charity. Your holiness right now is the most intense act of love you can make right now. That's how holy you are. As Thomas Aquinas also. But before you go to bed, make a very intense act of love for God, and you're going to be growing even more in holiness. Pope Francis, in The Joy of Love, beautiful document. One of my favorite chapters in that church document is a chapter where Pope Francis takes 1 Corinthians 13. Have any of you read the document? Any of you hear the document? Okay. Okay. And he just takes word for word for word in the most minute detail. He explains the meaning and the application of those words. I don't think I've ever in my life come across a better commentary on 1 Corinthians 13 than in The Joy of Love. You don't believe me, buy the document, okay? Or in minute detail, he explains every one of the words and how to put it into practice. So St. Paul gives us a very, very long description, word for word, of what love is. You want to improve your confessions? Read through that, then come to the confessional, huh? You're going to see, hey, how many things in that you don't put into practice, no? Love is patient, love is kind. I'm not very patient, and I'm not always kind. Love supports everything. I can barely support a toothache, huh? Let alone my mother-in-law, huh? I mean, I can barely put up with the most minimum things, and love supports everything. I'm light years away from that one. I mean, it sounds somewhat poetic, but very demanding. Very demanding. That's 1 Corinthians 13. But the greatest who ever preached on love was the one we read about an hour ago. The greatest who ever preached, taught, and lived love was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No one went beyond our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said this, no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. No greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And he put into practice on Good Friday. Look up there. See that cross? So anyone asks you, can you explain to me what true love is? The easiest way to do it without going into theological details is to simply point to the cross. Look at his head with a crown of thorns. Look at the nails in his hands. Look at the nails in his feet. Look at the open side. And there you have the most eloquent witness to love in the whole world. It's a good idea to spend some time, sometimes just looking at the cross in silence. Maybe not saying a lot of words with your lips, but just loving with your heart, being grateful, because Jesus died on the cross for love of you. Jesus love God the Father, and He loves you so much that He died on the cross for you. And He would die a million more times for love of you. How precious you are in the eyes of God. So let's pray for this grace. Let's pray for this grace tonight through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. To put into practice the last and greatest commandment of Jesus Christ, which was, love one another as I have loved you. Amen?
Amen.
May God bless you and love you always.
Thank you, Father.
In the name of the Father. Let's turn to Mary and beg for this greatest of all virtues. Can we do that?
Yes.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll ask you a favor. Tomorrow, 6 months ago, they asked me to give a talk in St. Peter and St. Paul in Wilmington, the Institute of the Religious Life. So I have to give a talk tomorrow. If you could maybe say a prayer for me, I'll be giving the talk at 10:30 with Father Brian Malady and some other priests. And so I ask your prayers that God would inspire all of us to really be motivated by love to bring many of these souls closer to God. Okay, so maybe say Hail Mary for me tonight, okay? God bless you then. Okay?